Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see all of you here this morning. So now then, we're finally beginning. You didn't ever think we was going to get here to the Philippians 1. So we're beginning, and Father, we just want you to know that we are so thankful you're here with us. And especially for me, Holy Spirit, that you guide my thoughts and you guide my words, and that your strength and your wisdom pours into the hearts of each of these dear ladies, and that each one of us are encouraged and each one of us are built up, and we're thankful. And especially, Father, for Paul, who was in prison, but that was not his main goal. He said, I am here for a purpose, and so that's one of the reasons that we'll learn while we're here. But we just thank you, Father, for being with us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the power that you pour into us, that you open our hearts, that you increase our faith, and that you are our constant counselor that is such a companion and such an encouragement to all of us. So we're leaning on you, Father, today through Jesus our Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
What do we learn from verse 1? And verse 1 is Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with their overseers and deacons. And that really covers 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy were what? They were servants. They were slaves. And that was their whole intention. One place I was reading yesterday, it may be in this chapter. I read so much that you never know where I'm coming from. And it was, I think it was talking to Timothy, and Paul said, this one thing I do. And this Timothy, I looked at him, one thing you do? You're always doing lots of things. He says, no, the one thing I do is doing what my Lord Jesus wants me to and for me to know him better. He said, I don't care how it's coming about, but that is my focus. That is the one thing I desire, that I know Jesus. And so that's also our aims here. We want to know Jesus better. And when he goes down here and says to the saints in Christ Jesus in Philippi, together with all the overseers and deacons. I know that Paul did not appoint overseers. We'd call them shepherds. We'd call them elders. We would call them the leaders of the church, who held everybody together. He never did that on his first missionary journey, and sometimes he did not do it on his second missionary journey. He waited until they were steeped in the gospel, and they were strong in the faith, and they were able then to lead the church when he was not there. So this gives you some idea of how stable Philippi's church is. It's because they already have overseers, deacons, elders, whatever you would call them. And that was one thing. I am so delighted, in case it never has gotten down to you yet, that we finally have deacons here. You know, we have had overseers, we have shepherds, but we have not had deacons, and they are doing a mighty good job. I think they have several women that are over other women. And I know that I've had somebody say, well, this lady called me and she said she was a deacon. Do you have any idea who that is and what they're talking about? Well, if they call you and tell you you're a deacon, then they are here by appointment of the church. So, and they are here to be a servant to you. So these people, if someone calls you and tells you you're a deacon, you'll say, from where? If they say, hi, Paul, they're good. So stay with them. So then he goes on to say, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is tying Greeks and then Jewish people or Asian people all together. Grace was a greeting to a Greek. If they saw each other, and they would say, well, grace to you. And it goes back to charisma or graceful, you know, like a graceful person. And it's lovely. And so they want you to have a lovely day, and they want you to feel beautiful, and they want you to feel full of joy. And so from a Greek standpoint, they would say, you know, grace to you. And if you were not a Greek and you were coming from Paul and coming from this side, then it would say peace, and that's shalom. And that's not just freedom from not being in battle. That is, everything in your life is flowing. Shalom means bless you with all of your being, whatever brings you joy, whatever brings you comfort, and maybe, you know, all your family is doing well. And so when you'd say peace, it's the same thing as shalom, or bless you with everything in your life that it's working well with you. So when you know these little, I don't know a bit of Greek, when you know somebody tells you all these little things, they do let you know a little bit more. Then he starts out being thankful. How many prayers? If you look nearly all of the Bible and all of the letters that Paul has sent out, it starts with a prayer. And it may end with a prayer, and he may stick a prayer right in the middle of it because he's not consistent in anything what he's saying. He's just going from one place to another. And he says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. And so that's the way I feel about y'all. I'll get studying something, especially something that we may be studying for the week, and I'm like, I can't wait to talk to him about this. I need to tell him. Did you know what I found? And let me tell you, if you live long enough, you can learn something every day. And if you're not learning, you're probably going to die. So you might ought to get to studying. So he said, I always pray with joy. And I think of y'all, and that's the way it is with me. I just am joyful. Like a little old Teresa there. I thought, oh, bless God, I hadn't seen her in months. It just gives me great joy to see each one of you each week. Because we are in partnerships, we are united, we are one, and for one purpose is to live a life glorifying our Lord, and to live a life of thanksgiving in the light of how blessed we are. And it says, we are blessed in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This verse really means a lot to me. If anything I've ever gotten into, and it continues, I know it is because I am God's will. Because it's not me that starts it, it is Him. And if God starts anything and it continues, don't pat yourself on the back. Because it is because God is working. Especially I see this in our quilting. We've been quilting for about 17 years here. And it started with 6 people that didn't know how to quilt. And also from a suggestion of a person that never did come. Anyway, we were blessed because God knew that what He was going to be doing through this. There was a master quilter here in our class. She said, I can teach you. She didn't know what she was saying when she started that. It took me 6 months to figure out how to go around the corner. I think I got it made. And then I turned it and it didn't work. So that woman has got the patience of Job, and that we have learned so much. And then our quilting has grown so that we have been giving away about 125 quilts a year. And so give God the glory. Because He started it, we didn't know what we was doing, and then we met out at my barn for 15 years, and then we finally got in here. But it has grown, we have learned a lot, and everybody else has come in and learned a lot, and some of them really need to learn a lot. And so it's always God's patience, but if He means for something to work, it'll hang in there. And I was here when this church was founded. And so we didn't know what we were doing either. So when you see God has carried you through it, you just give Him all the glory, because none of us was rich and none of us looked better than others. Anyway, this is such a confidence. And when you go back and remember, the base of this church is a rich woman, a retired soldier from Rome that is now a jailer, and a slave. And if He can take that and build a strong church, He can take even us and build a strong church. I think that's really encouraging. And it says, because of confidence that He who began a good work in you, notice He's not patting them on the back, and He's just telling them, go back and remember that you are in God's hands. You are believers of Jesus. And the reason this is working is because of, goes down to the end of that sentence there, because of Christ Jesus. So give Him all the glory. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all you share in this God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And so that is, someone was saying, well, this is sure a welcome in church. And that welcome is coming through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells among the people here. I've had several people say, I have been in a lot of classes and a lot of different women, but I've never found a good group as good as this. I said, you're right. They're the best. And so it is because Jesus is our Savior. He is in our hearts, and he gives us his love to love each one of you. And this is my prayer, he said. Now, this is what he's praying for you and me. This is what he was praying for the church in Philippi. That your love may abound more and more. And this is why, if you love God, you're going to continue to study, you're going to continue to pray, you're going to continue to grow. And so this is that our love will abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Also filled with the fruit of righteousness. And that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of him. So we go back here and we look into, we're going to have to increase in knowledge. Now you can't just sit out there on a stump and be getting smarter. You're going to have to do some studying. He expects us to work both directions. But it's amazing, every time I teach, I guess I've taught it, Philippians, I don't know how many times. But every time I teach, I never teach the same, because God has instructed me and enlarged my knowledge. And of course, the teacher always learns more than the student, because you have to. But it is such a blessing, because then I'll be going along and I'll think, wow, I don't remember ever saying that before. And so that is an answer to prayer. And that is an answer to being loved by Jesus and you sharing that love with everyone else. And so I'm praying that for you. I have for years. There's a few people in here that's been with me nearly 20 years since we opened this class. When I started teaching Bible class to this church, I had one student, but she came every Wednesday night. Bless her heart, I might have got discouraged. But there has been so many people come through that I have enjoyed getting to know, and you have taught me as I have taught you. And God, with our combined prayers, we all have increased in knowledge and insight. And I like it. I like this right here, discern what is best. You know, so many times you'll say, well, I need to do this, or well, I need to do that. I have come to the conclusion my name's not on everybody's list. Now, you have to watch that. Sometimes you get in a church and somebody needs something. If you ever did anything willingly, well, your name may be on their list. And you'll say, I'm sorry, that's not my gift. But anyway, my list has gotten down to about this long. I just keep giving everybody else my list, and would you like to take this list now? So, things will go on whether you're doing it or not. But it's hard sometimes to know what is best. You know, we know everything's good, but what does God want me to do? And that takes a whole lot of prayer and a whole lot of wisdom from God to direct you in the right path. But Racy, this is what he wants to be your, and you are important. He wants you to be pure. He wants you to be blameless until Jesus shows up. How long is that going to last? Well, I don't know. So he wants you to be growing better and better and making better and better choices all the time, because the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom to say, so don't expect me to bring you anything to eat. I do not cook for myself anymore, much less for you. Anyway, so be full of the fruit of righteousness. You know, righteousness is just being right with God. And he wants you to be more and more like Jesus every day. And that's why he sent him down here, to show us what good is. Because we are so dumb that we have to have it seen as it lives in other people. And that's why you say, well, I don't know how to teach anybody. You know how to live? They say that the letters that are written on people and in their hearts and in their love for you is going to teach more lessons than anybody talking to you. You can talk yourself blind, but if you're not living it, you might as well sit down and shut up. Anyway, that is comes through Jesus Christ. And so when something actually works and you actually understand something and you do love somebody that used to just drive you nuts, you give God the glory, because it's not that you've gotten so great, it's just because you've gotten closer to the Lord. So now then we go on, let's see here. It says, what gave Paul great joy when he thought of the church in Philippi? He says, now I want you to know, brethren, that what has happened to me, and then now we're going on with it, and then he says, what did Paul say was his reason to be in chains? I remember that we were talking about two different ones, isn't that great? He said, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard to everyone else that I am in chains for Jesus Christ. The whole palace guard was 10,000 soldiers that guarded all of the main rulers of Rome. And so when you have rotating people every day tied to you for 8 hours, you've got three of those a day. And then they have to rotate because they've been drug around the whole place all day with Paul preaching and writing the churches and the Greek people that has come in to see him and him talking to people and them then talking to him. And then always with Jesus in his center of the conversation is Jesus, and they get preached to for 8 hours and then they have to be turned loose and they go back to the guards. So he sees that Jesus has him in chains there to spread the gospel among the Roman soldiers. And I didn't realize there was that many of them. See what you learn? 10,000 of them. I don't know how many years he was imprisoned, but three men a day, it adds up pretty quickly. And so then they'd get back to the barracks and they said, oh, you've been over there with Paul again? Yeah, but he's making sense, you know. And so he brought a lot of people to the Lord because of his change. It said, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. So not only is he preaching to different people, as he encourages everybody there that comes in to be encouraged, and I don't know how many lined up every day to come by and visit with Paul. I'd want to be in that line. As he encouraged them, these people tied to him were encouraged. And the more they were encouraged, and the more they could see the power of encouragement and the power of love and the power of the gospel, and it was all that Paul said is just one reason. It's just because of Jesus Christ. Well, the more he could bring to the Lord. So then it said, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill, and the latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Said the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supporting what they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. You'll see this everywhere. There are a lot of preachers that get so proud of themselves that they think they're blessed, their heart, their God, and that they're the only ones that has all the answers, and then there are some in it for the money. You know, if you'll send me enough money, I'll pray for you and you'll be well tomorrow. And they get to be very rich and everybody else is very sick. But look what Paul said. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And so because of this, I rejoice. Paul was not upset if somebody was out blaspheming his name and telling him, well, I know the gospel better, or he wouldn't be in jail. Sometimes you see more rivalry in churches than you do anywhere else. And that is a shame, you know. Well, they don't know what they're talking about. If they know Jesus and they're speaking his name, you might ought to close your mouth and go home. Because as long as Jesus is preached, as long as anybody gives out the word, then you do not pull them down, because they're trying, and that may be the best thing to do, but at least they're spreading the word of Jesus. And so I think that Paul is so wise in all of this. And so be wise and don't follow the ones that's in it for money, and look and see if you can find a church that's just worshiping Jesus. I have a new study that I'm studying now, and it was one of the things that brought this up was people will go, well, I really like that church. I like their form of music, or I really like that church because I like that preacher. And then if that preacher moves, well, I don't think I'm going to go back to church because I don't like the church, the preacher they brought in here. Have you ever stopped and asked, what does Jesus want? He knows people's hearts. And if anybody is saying anything about the Lord, and you might make yourself be really happy that anybody that comes to speak is, you give what you can from it. If you don't agree with them, you go back and find out who's right, him or me. But I like this, especially with worship singing. And I have this sometimes. If the song is pointing more at me than it is Jesus, that really kind of bothers me. When we come together, we have one purpose. And our purpose is what will please you, Lord. Our purpose is to worship him. Our purpose, when we started this church, we were trying to find our open to people that were not churched. We've gotten all cleaned up. You ought to saw us to begin with. Most people showed up sharks and looked like they'd been digging in the dirt. But, you know, you've heard people say, well, I can't go to church. I don't have nice clothes. Jesus don't care what kind of clothes you got. He wants to know what kind of heart you have. And if you can't, I know some, well, I can't wear that. I don't know what people would say. I'm allowed to be in anything. Just be glad I'm in anything. Anyway, what somebody else thinks is not your question. What does Jesus think? Am I worshiping Jesus or am I enjoying or reading something that makes me happy? There's a lot of questions you might need to ask. And when I was a shepherd here, the one prayer I had every morning when I came into this building is, who needs me? Who can I encourage? Who can I talk to? Who needs me to talk to them more than somebody else? Because there's a lot of needs. And so if you come to church about, well, I hope we have good singing this morning. If it's from the heart, it is good singing. If you don't like it, pray. There's some songs I pray through because it's pointing too much at me. And so I love the songs like we had this morning. It's worshiping and pointing right directly to the Lord. Every once in a while, I try to help the singer's leader get on the ball. I've known him since he was in high school. He's going, oh, Lord, here she comes again. But sometimes he needs help. Don't pay any more attention to me than the wind blowing. But anyway, that's just something for you to think about as you come to worship. Am I coming? And we need to be built up, and we need to be loved, and we want to be welcomed. Well, who over there needs worse than I do? So maybe if I welcome somebody else, they'll be welcome to talk to me back. You can't ever tell. Okay, so we was talking about the preachers that lost their mind. So, it said, but it does not matter in any way whether the false motives are true. Jesus is preached. So that's your main thought. And what I'm doing and how I'm dressed and what I'm saying and how I'm being kind or unkind. Am I showing Jesus' love? Am I showing that for other persons important? Or am I so concerned about myself that I'm going to think, let me tell you something. Somebody said, well, what will others think? I said, they're standing over there saying, well, what will others think? So they're not thinking about you anyway. It's just not really on their agenda. So we continue on down. What did Paul say to those that were preaching for selfish ambition? We discovered what he did when they're preaching for selfish ambition. And what all did Paul see the prayers of the church had resulted in bringing about? I really, really believe our prayer ministry is the strongest thing that we have working for us. We have good teachers, and good teachers are good. But if you don't have good prayers and good people praying for those teachers, it may not go much further this room. But when we pray and when we see God working and our faith grows and we'll say, we prayed about this, and look what happened now. God answered our prayers. Norma said, you know, she's my Uber. She lives right down the road from me, and she said, well, I'm going there anyway, just I'll just pick you up. And we talked. And she was trying to figure all good answers for her to go with her mother. Do you know now the thing that we thought up worked? God had a whole new plan.
Yeah.
But we were praying, she was praying, and God said, all right, let me show you how much better it can get out here. And her going and staying like she did. And her mother and her daddy are being so well cared for. And God has opened doors in every area. In fact, she said just in the last week that there are people bringing them food at least 3 times a week in some kind of program there. And she said her mother don't always like what they bring, but or they wasn't prepared like it was, but she didn't have to cook it. I want to get on that program. Anyway, and it ties us together. You know, when I see you, and I know you got that problem, and you have this, and I pray for you every day because it's on my table in the morning. That's why I never get any breakfast till 10 o'clock. You are very dear to me, and not only you, but your concerns and your people, and most of the time I tie it together. And I am so proud of so many new people that has come into this class because so many of you have invited them. You have brought us so much joy, and we are so glad that you're here with us. So, let's see if I can get back on the program here. It said, and because of this I rejoice. He's rejoicing because of the gospel's going out, regardless of the reason or the person that's carrying it. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you know, this just dawned on me. I have not noticed very often where it says the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I've got that. See, that's what really popped out to me. And it's in here twice. Most of the time, it's just the Spirit, or it's the Spirit of God. Of course, Jesus is God. But here it says, I know that through your prayers, the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for deliverance. He knows, well, I think God's going to get me out of here, but I haven't gotten the many guards through yet. I've got some more that I've got to preach to. And whenever God said move, he moved, or he wouldn't have been in Philippi to begin with. You know, he was going to circle back and go back through Asia. And God said, nope. And then he had this dream of the man said, come over and help us. And so he got in a boat and he went to Philippi. So I know there are so many, just like what Norma said, I had all these plans and Jesus said, nope, we're going on a different route. Anyway, I eagerly expect and hope that I in no way as ashamed, but we have sufficient courage to know that as always, and I really don't, every time I see Christ, I say Jesus. I say Jesus. I know how to read, but Jesus is the Christ, but Jesus is Jesus. Okay. And he said, we'll be exalted in my body. And so I think this shows how deep his faith goes. Whether by life or by death is gain. As old as I'm getting, that's where I'm at. But live. I made the cardiologist so mad he didn't even want to talk to me when I left there. He had a new procedure that he could go up and stick a hole in my heart and do something else with it. And he said, then you won't have to take blood thinners. I thought, you're going to have to find something bigger than that before I let anybody give any surgery to me and stick a hole in my heart. I said, I think I'll just stay on the path I'm in. Anyway, so if I'm here or if I'm gone, don't worry about me. And he said, if I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for you. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Jesus, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and your joy and faith. So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. You may be where you are and what you are because you're encouraging someone else. You may be hurting so bad you can't hardly see, But you're living Christ, and you're showing them that Jesus, who suffered, he lived for us. He died for us. He sent the Spirit to us. He said, I'm here for one reason, because when Jesus got me, he sent me on this trail. And he said, the main reason what he tells Paul, he said, you will suffer. I don't know how many times he's beat up and thrown out of the city, and then somebody gathered him up and carried him back in, and Jesus reinvigorated him, and he gone down the road. And he said, everything I'm here for one reason is for you to know Jesus. And so that has always been my major with everything that I did, is if I can encourage women to know Jesus, like I was encouraged as a young woman, that will be my goal. And God has blessed me with an open door, because I was not raised except riding in a number three tub that was tied to the drawbar of a tractor, because that was where I had to sit while my mother and daddy worked in the fields. So he can do anything with any of you. Some of you actually have more education. It's amazing. Anyway, whatever happens, conduct yourself in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. You remember how many lessons that we've had in the last few months on being worthy? Now that's one song I like to sing. You are worthy, worthy. And then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Paul said, I know you will, because of prayer, and because of the Holy Spirit, and because who dwells within you is greater than anybody that will attack you, or make you feel small, or make you feel not wanted. And if they tell me they don't want me to be around, then good, I'll go home and read a book. I like to read books. Anyway, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that is by God. So whatever you are having to contend with, if you've got Jesus, you've got it all. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. You know, everybody wants to get on the believe and blessed, but they don't realize it's a two-handed thing. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be free of your guilt. You're going to be loved by God. You are going to be so blessed by him. But you're also going to suffer, because he is the one that went before us, and there is not anybody suffered as much as he has. So since you have gone through the same struggles you saw I had, and now here I am still how. And so he is a great example. There wasn't anybody anymore beat up, thrown out, and he just kept getting back up and taking off and just continuing on and still saying, if I can do anything to let one more person know about Jesus, it may not be a word you say, but you can live it. And you get around people that has Jesus within them, they're different. They're good to be with. And so they are free of guilt. They are content with where they are. And they just continue to move forward through tears sometimes. But you just continue to hold on to Jesus, because he's the only thing that will not leave you. All the good people will die that you love, or you will. But you have got an anchor. Somebody want to talk? Stand up and have a testimony.
So when she was talking about those songs a while ago, that's why they call them worship songs, because we're worship God. Mm-hmm. That's part of them. And sometimes if we get off base and we start singing about us, and I think that's what Gene was trying to say, mm-hmm. is we're trying to tell the people that this means so much to us, but it doesn't necessarily put the emphasis on God and the worship of God. And I think that's what Gene's trying to say. Mm-hmm. Because I felt that too sometimes, different mm-hmm. songs. But these songs like we sang this morning, Pam, thank you so much. That just touches your heart. And you know those people from generations ago sang these songs and worshiped God like that. Jesus.
Somebody else?
I have a devotional that I read every morning along with my Bible and my studies. And this is Jesus talking to us. And he's saying to us, the power of my gospel to reach lost people in every place, in every age, is still present through the work of my Holy Spirit. Talking to my Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, the stubbornness of unbelief I confronted in my own hometown also happens in your day. This lack of expectation contributes to my repeated frustration with my family, my modern-day hometown, and my own people and household. This stubbornness of unbelief prevents me from doing any great works for them, among them, and through them. And then he tells us, please believe, please expect more. Please read your Bibles to see that we, Father, Son, and Spirit, long to do in your day the things we've done before. Don't let it be said in your day that I am limited by the stubbornness of their unbelief. This is Jesus talking to us. I love that devotional because the writer writes it as Jesus talking. Mm-hmm. And it just really touches my heart to read that and to know that in that day he did this thing, but he's also doing these things in this day. Mm-hmm. So please keep believing, keep trusting, keep praying, because I experience it every day and I'm thankful.
Come on, Denise.
It's hard.
Come on, Denise. You can do it. Close your eyes.
Okay.
It's okay.
My uncle passed, and this weekend we had a memorial. This was my mom's stepdad, but I grew up with them. My cousins, every Christmas until I was 18, we were always there. There was so much joy. And I always named my uncle a very strong Christian, very strong believers. And they've always just had this beautiful life. And my uncle passed after a surgery. And with a heart attack, and it was very sad. But their joy and their faith through the whole memorial service, everything was just so much joy, so much love. Mm-hmm. My cousin's my age, and then the other one's 2 years younger, and then between them, they have five children. And one of the grandsons was going to have his first baby any moment. Well, I was talking to my cousin last night, and he said that the baby, yesterday was a crazy day. The baby, 1:30 in the morning, they went to the hospital. But then the brand new granddad, my other cousin, he had a widowmaker heart attack. And they did a stent, and he's completely, he's okay. But I am certain, from the texting, but I'm certain he was at the hospital when he had the heart attack. And it's just their faith. And then his beautiful baby, and hopefully my cousin will get, the stent was all successfully. And he'll get to come home today, but it's just their faith is it's indescribable.
It's the anchor.
Beautiful.
It's the anchor.
I know a few years ago, Brandon went over the relationship between the Holy Trinity, and I'm still very confused on that. Is that something you could maybe explain a little better to us?
Yeah. Somebody asked you, well, how can you explain three in one? You explain it, that's God's family. You go back to Genesis 1 and 2 and even 3, and it says, we will make man in our image. And when you look at the image of God, he is three in one. What did he do first? He made a family, a human family. And that human family he addressed as God, and then that would be like a husband. And then there is the Son, and you look at the Son who suffered for us. A woman suffers for bringing life into the next generation. A lot of women have lost their lives to produce another life. So you look at that like the Father is the earthly Father. Jesus Christ is like the Mother, that he laid down his life for us. And then you look at the Holy Spirit is what brings things forward. That's three in one. You go back and you read Genesis. I've just hit on all of this because I'm studying from a different book. There are three, 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 three. There is sun, moon, and stars. There is, and then there are, like herbs and everything. In creation, there's a three. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just three, 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 three. And so when he says, we will create man in our image, and then he goes on to say female and male, he created them. That's two. You have one, you've got a man.
You've got two, you've got a couple, but that's not three. Then you have a child. We are the family of humans that is like the family of God. So if you can look at the family of humans, there are three. It takes three to make a family. You are, else you have a single or you have a couple, but you have that in the child, and the child takes it forward like the Holy Spirit has spread all the gospel all over the world. And so if somebody wants to know, how do you know how three in one? You tell them there's three in the family of God and there's three in the family of humans. I had never thought it like that way. And now then I want to nail everybody to the rope. I want to come over and let me talk to you about them. It just goes on and on. You better come and pray or I'll never go home.
Father God, we are so thankful for your word. We are so thankful for Miss Jean that is led by your Holy Spirit. We just thank you that we get to know your heart, Paul's heart. Allow us, Father, to just continue to trust you, believe in you, follow you. Allow us to be a light to this dark world. Allow others to see you in us, that there would be a breakthrough, an overwhelming, just all over the world, that people would see you, know you. Father God, we are just expecting your return. And while we are waiting, Father God, you know our hearts, you know our needs, from jobs to illness to just our needs, Father God. Our hearts are just so full of love for you, and we are so thankful. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this class, and just keep us safe from all harm. Bless the ones that are not here, and just thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for Jesus, your Son. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We love you, we trust you, and we thank you for all you do for us daily. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.